Amen. We have several out today due to traveling and different things going on, conferences and whatnot, but we still have a wonderful, wonderful crowd here this Sunday morning. And as we worship the Lord together, and trust everyone had a good Sunday school hour. We had to combine a couple classes this morning, but trust that all worked out well, and thank the Lord for that. It's hard to believe, if I'm not mistaken, Easter Sunday is only a month from now, coming up so very quickly. It'll be April 1st, they say that's April Fool's Day. Well, I tell you, you'd be a fool not to believe in the resurrection. Amen. We're looking forward to that day. It's going to be a special, special day. We're going to do something a little different. I don't know that it's ever been done here. It may have been. But we are going to have a sunrise service located right out there, weather permitting, of course, right out there on the front lawn. And we'll have a chair set up and have the first service there. Then we'll have breakfast following. And then we will also be able to participate in our normal Bible study groups. And then we'll go right into the morning service, the 11 o'clock service. And then we'll be finished for the day. But it's going to be a very exciting day, a very exciting morning. And we're looking forward to that. I hope you'll be praying with me about it. And as it comes up very, very quickly, and I hope you'll be encouraging folks to come, inviting them to come. We're going to provide you with some literature that's been ordered. It should have been here last week, but you know how that goes sometimes. They just don't make it and at the time you think they were going to send it, but we should have it next week, and we will make those invitation cards available to you. Well, we're in the book of Colossians this morning for the start of our message, and I'm going to read verse 18. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 18. Excuse me. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "And he," that's talking about Christ, Jesus Christ, "and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Let's pray together. Father, I do want to thank you for the Word of God. I want to thank you for the Spirit of God. And Lord God, I come before you confessing to you I cannot bring this message. But Lord, I trust that you will bring it in and through me. I just want to present myself as a vessel fit for the Master's use. And I pray you'd encourage hearts today, Lord. I pray that Christ would be exalted above all. And Lord, would you draw us nearer to yourself, even in a spirit of revival. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do in this church, the church that you paid for with your precious blood. Father, thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, you know, we've been going through a series over the past several weeks on what is a faithful church member. What does it mean? What does the Bible say about it? And we, of course, talked about how important it is to be a functioning church member, just being involved, being plugged in. We talked about having the spirit of being a unifying church member. A faithful church member is going to be one who has the spirit to unify, a unifier. Not a divider, not one who is sowing discord in any way, one is always striving for the unity of the church. And we also talked about the importance of praying for our church, praying for one another, praying for the leadership, praying for the ministries, and backing everything we do with prayer. And we're coming upon this message this morning as we will be wrapping up next week, Lord willing, we'll wrap up our last message of this series that God really inspired me and encouraged me, I should say, from a book that I was reading by Tom Rainer called I Am a Church Member. And I have adapted some of those messages modified some things to better fit our church and our needs, but it has truly been an encouragement to me. And it helped me understand even more so the importance of the local church and the body and how we function as a body for the glory of God. And this morning's message is on the subject of loving our church. You know, I believe that ought to be the heart of every church member. To the church that they have joined themselves with, I believe it ought to be the heart of that church member to say, I love my church. I believe it's powerful. I believe it's important. I believe it's a testimony that you agree with what God has done and joining you and moving you to a church membership and making a commitment and saying, you know what? I believe in what God is doing here. And I want to love my church. You know, I'm going to talk a little bit about what that looks like. What does that mean? Well, let me say right off that when I think of love, you think of a lot of terms, can't you? And just coming off Valentine's Day, we might even have a few more words on our mind. I'm not here necessarily to define love in all its ways that we could define it, but because we know who the author of love is, amen? That's God Himself. In fact, He's just not the author of it. He is love. The Word of God states, God is love. But one thing that comes to my mind when I think of love is this, is commitment. When you think of love, I believe that a word that can truly be there at the top of the list is commitment. I believe Jesus Christ, of course, demonstrated that perfectly, didn't He? On the cross of Calvary, did He not fully commit? Amen. Oh, you better believe He did. He committed Himself fully all the way to Calvary and shed His precious blood on that cruel cross. He did. He committed all the way through, and He committed through the empty tomb, and He arose the third day victoriously over death, hell, sin, and the devil, and He lives forever, and He's at the right hand of God making intercession for us right at this moment as I preach this message, and He's coming back. And He's going to call us, and I'm looking forward to it. But He showed full commitment. And what an example for us. You know, I was just thinking yesterday, we had a big white oak tree fall out in the cemetery, Crooked Creek Cemetery right over here. And it was blocking the drive. So we took a group of guys over there after the breakfast yesterday and got that thing sawed up. And Brother Jeff had his bobcat. And, man, we were able to do it in just a couple hours, thankfully, to that bobcat. Amen. But it was a blessing to be able to do that. But, boy, as we were sitting out there, Brother Mike got into talking. And I said, you know what? Wouldn't it be great if the rapture happened right now? Standing around that cemetery, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we are following right suit after that. And I think about how the Lord Jesus committed Himself, and He committed that He was going to come back. He committed that He was going to call us back in the rapture, and I'm looking forward to that. But I do think of commitment when I think of love. You know, that one day in August 4th, 2007, when I stood across from my beautiful bride, that hot August day. Oh, was I ever thanking God for air conditioning? But as I stood across from my sweet bride, Joanna, on that day, we said our I do's and we made our vows. And I was able to kiss my bride for the very first time. Hallelujah. I'd never forget that. They just keep getting sweeter. But I kissed my bride and I said I do's. And you know what we were saying that day? We were making a commitment. We were making a commitment that we were going to love each other through thick and thin, through the good times and the bad times, through the disappointments and the victories and all the things you can sum up. You could say we said our I do's and we made our commitments. Now, since that day of August 4th, 2007. I know y'all find this hard to believe, but I have disappointed Joanna several times. I've let her down. I've dropped the ball. I have to be careful about dropping the ball. One message, I said something about God never drops the ball, and I'm encouraging Mary Ann to take notes and the sermons. And I looked at her notes that day, and she showed me, Daddy, look, I've taken notes. And what she had written, God doesn't drop the ball. Like, well, Amen. She is listening to somewhat, but I will say I've dropped the ball. I've messed up at times, and there's been disappointments in our marriage, and that's for every marriage. There are those times, but what keeps you together? I would say that word right there is powerful. I would say commitment. And I want to say, first of all, number one, it's not primarily my commitment to Joanna. It's not primarily Joanna's commitment to me. It is our commitment to Christ. It is our commitment to Him that holds us together. And making that the primary focus. And yes, there is a commitment to each other. There's no doubt about that. There must be. But the primary commitment is to the Lord Jesus Himself. And I believe that a faithful church member will realize that part of loving your church and me loving my church is a commitment to it. To love through bad times and good times, struggles and victories and whatever the case may be, and just letting God strengthen His church. But it first comes from a love for Jesus Christ. It's a commitment. You know, I believe that this love for the church and for this local church is shown in several different ways. I'd like to give you those three ways quickly here. Number one, I believe that we show our love for the church and for this church. If you're a member here, and you may be here visiting or a guest and you're a member somewhere else, I just want you to apply this wherever you have joined yourself to a Bible-believing church. But this, the first way to show your love for the church is through your commitment to Christ. Why? Because He's the head of the church. I would say point number one that we would see here that we show our love for the local church and for this local church is number one, because we show our love for the master of the church. That's Jesus Christ. Secondly, we're going to talk about the members of the church. That's this group right here. And then thirdly, we'll talk about the mission of the church. But let me get to that first point, because that's priority. The master of the church. The master of the church is the head. He's in charge. He's the leader. He is the one that we answer to in this church. We don't answer to headquarters somewhere in Nashville. We don't answer to anybody anywhere else in this country or anywhere else in this world. Our ultimate answering to, and the one who we ultimately are accountable to, my friend, is the head, the master, the king, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one we submit ourselves to, because He indeed is what holds this body together. And it's interesting, even in that verse we read in Colossians 1:18, He is the head of the body, the church, that He's the head of this church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that all things He might have the preeminence. In verse 17, it says, by Him all things consist. By Him all things consist. Hey, you know what? He's the one that holds this church together. Amen. Without Him, we would totally fall apart. And without Him, our head, we would be lifeless. Every member, remember this, needs to be connected to the head. And you say, well, duh, Pastor. Well, listen, a lot of times as church members, we think that we can be a member of a church, but not be connected to the head. And my friend, you can't be a faithful church member if you're disconnected from the head. And the head is Jesus Christ. And that's where we all have a personal responsibility to show forth a devotion and love for Jesus Christ, a loyalty to Jesus Christ. Yes, we are connected with Him. We are to be responsive to Him. He speaks to us. He gives the commands. You know, everything I'm doing right now, every word I'm speaking, every movement I'm making, my hand turning my Bibles, where I'm looking, what I'm hearing, the same goes for you. Everything that you're doing right now, those commands are coming from your head, your brain. I think your brain is there, right? Sometimes I wonder about myself. But honestly, all the things you're doing right now and will do for the rest of your life, those commands are coming from your head. And my friends, we are to be responsive to the Savior, because He is constantly, as the head of the church, He is constantly speaking to His church. He's constantly giving commands. He's constantly encouraging and guiding and, empowering. Yes, He is. But you know, we as members are We need to be connected with the head. We need to be responsive, but also we need to understand that we suffer with the head. Jesus Christ, of course, set that perfect example of suffering. And the church suffers a lot. You know, a lot of people are looking for a church where they can just feel happy all the time. People out there are looking for a church where they don't have to struggle. They don't have to come alongside people who are not where they are and who are struggling, probably maybe not from the same background, and just be going through some tough things. A lot of people want to distance themselves from that. They just want to go where everything's just going to be right and okay. But I'm telling you, that's not suffering the way Jesus suffered. Jesus wants us to come alongside Him. He is our head. Therefore, we must suffer. That's why I believe Paul said that I might know the fellowship of His sufferings. He wanted to relate to the head, His head, the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ. And I could go to several verses on that. 2 Corinthians 4:10, Philippians 1:29, Philippians 3:10, 1 Peter 4:13. You know, we see in Philippians, and I'm right there. I'm just going to read it to you. Philippians, what does Paul say to them about this suffering as the church? He says, "For unto you, church," guess what he said? "It is given in the behalf of Christ, your head." What? "Not only to believe on Him, but also to" what, church? "But also to suffer for His sake." And that's where sometimes we're like, whoa. But we need to understand that is part of being connected to our head and honoring our head, the Master, the Lord Jesus, the head of this church, that we suffer with Him. And then also we're going to be glorified with Him, with our head. One day, if we suffer with Him, the Word of God says, we shall also reign with Him. And these sufferings that we experience on this earth, one day, my friends, we will reign with Him. That is some truth there that we need to see. But He is the head. Let me just read a few of these verses to you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. He is the head. We are to love the Master of the church. How do we love our church members? We start off by loving the Master. Now, I know this is a question that all of us, it really humbles us all, because this is an area that we all need to grow in. But let me ask you, before we move on to the next point, where are we in our love for the Master? Because we cannot be faithful church members if we are not willing to, first of all, when it comes to loving our church, we first got to make sure that we are falling more and more and more and more and more love with the Master. You know, there was a problem in one of the churches in Revelation. Hold your place there and go with me over to Revelation chapter 2, please. Revelation chapter 2. Go over there with me to Revelation chapter 2 and look at basically what he's saying to this church in Ephesus. Excuse me. He says unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." Listen to what he says. He starts really commending this church. He says, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." So we see verses 2 and 3 here. We see a commendation here. We see the church of Ephesus being commended. And by the way, we see that the next verse, we're going to see that was actually there at one time. But let's read verse 4. It says here, nevertheless, our Lord says here, I have somewhat against thee. Why? Because thou hast left thy first love. He had one thing against this church. Now, you'll remember when Paul started this church, when Paul was working and working with this church, he actually commended them. For the sake of time, I'm not going to go there. But in Ephesians, he talked about how they were growing in their love and how their love was a testimony of his grace. They were actually commended there, but now something in those years, of those years between that letter to Ephesus and this letter from John, there had grown cold in their love for the Master. Their love for the Savior. Do you understand what this was saying here? Look, church, they had everything else in order. They had their doctrine right. They had their programs right. They had this right. They had that right. They had the fellowships right. They had all these different things in order. They stood against false doctrine. And they stood against false prophets. And they were commended in that. They labored for the Lord. They served Him. They were here all the time at the church, just serving wherever they could. That was that church. But Jesus said, I'm telling you, but I got something against you. You got all these things, but I want to tell you, you have left your first love. And I believe here that one of the things we must realize in moving forward, before we can even get to our love for the members and our love for the mission, we got to realize, where is our love for the Master? May God help us to realize that Jesus is interested in our love for Him. He says, remember therefore that you have from whence thou hast fallen. Thou art fallen in verse 5. He says, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And church, that is my encouragement to you this morning and to myself. That let's always make the main thing the main thing. Let's make sure these other things are important that I'm going to mention, but let's make sure we are falling more in love with Jesus Christ. He's the reason we exist. He is the reason we function. He is the reason we are held together. And my friends, if we get disconnected from the head, our church will be lifeless. And it will die. But my friends, au contraire, as we say in French, if we will make Him number one, if we will make Him our first love and our main love, this church will grow. This church will thrive. This church will make a difference for eternity. But Jesus must be number one. And as a church member, my friends, if you are connected with Jesus Christ, and you are living for Him, He's number one. I want to tell you, biblically, you will love your church. Moving right along here, not only will we love the Master of the church, but secondly, we'll love the members of the church. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this point because I basically went over this talking in the message about unity. Now, any of you here that missed one of those messages in this series, I encourage you. Please go back and listen to those. But the reason I say that is because this is something for every member of our church to listen to. You can hear my heartbeat as your pastor of what I'm longing for as the Lord leads me and as I'm longing for us as a body to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe you'll catch the heartbeat of what we're seeking to do here for the glory of God. So please go back and listen to those messages if you missed out on them. We have them online and we can also make copies for you back here in our recording ministry. But number two, we see here our love for the church will be shown through our love for the members of the church. Now, this is not an artificial love. That's tough, isn't it? We struggle with that sometimes. We love artificially. I mean, we smile at people. You know, pretty smile. I really don't like you very much. Yeah, nice to see you. And, you know, we have the temptation to have an artificial love, but the Lord Jesus exhorts us that our love ought to be pure. It ought to be not artificial, but it should be authentic. The real deal, as Peter would say, that we should love each other, obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love, he says. Colossians, you know, Jesus commanded that these things I command you, that you love one another. Paul said in Colossians, above all these things, put on charity. Why? Which is the bond of perfectness. Peter's command, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. For who? Or up for, from? Of the brethren. Of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. And then John's command. John says, 1 John 3:11, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, what? That we should love one another. That's the message from the beginning. I tell you what, I really love documentaries. I enjoy watching them. I'm not sure if you do. A lot of times they do help me to fall asleep when I'm struggling or going to bed. But there are some that I'm wide awake. And one was last night I watched with my kids. It's the BBC series that they did on Africa. And I love the ones they do. Blue Planet. I don't know if any of you guys own those, but I love these wildlife documentaries. And it was pretty fascinating, man, just watching those giraffes. You ever seen giraffes fight? Man, that makes MMA look like little elementary kids. Those guys, I won't get into the fighting of the giraffes, but I will say this. As we were watching that, and of course I got the kids there and they're watching and asking questions and they were fascinated. But then it got to one part of the documentary on the drongo birds. Now the drongo birds, there's a black bird, maybe about that big, got the red eyes, and they're very, very intelligent birds. And this particular bird they were talking about also with the meerkats. Little groundhog looking things, little skinny things that run around out there in the Kalahari Desert. And they were talking about how these two work together. And this drongo bird actually kind of looks out, if you will. It's sort of the neighborhood watchdog, this drongo bird. In other words, it'll be up in the tree, and these meerkats that are around, they, if an owl comes along or some type of eagle or some predator, man, these drongo birds sound off an alarm. And those meerkats recognize it immediately. And man, they scatter like crazy. I mean, they're fast too. And then they go into their little underground dens there. And it's pretty neat how it works together. But so you would think that this drongo bird, well, wow, that's a faithful friend. Must really show some real love and loyalty there. But then it went on to say the drongo bird does that unless it's hungry. Now, and when I say it does sound off a warning call. But do you know that bird has figured out that if he can give a false alarm and see those meerkats scatter, that bird will time it just right to where he is observing these meerkats just found a little, some kind of grub worm or maybe a scorpion that they were getting ready to have a good fresh snack on. And when they see that, that bird sounds off an alarm. Pew! I don't know if that's really what it sounds, but it's something like that. And when he does that, those meerkats scatter, that bird scoops down, grabs that snack, steals it away, and goes back and has himself a nice little meal. You know what that bird is? That bird is a hypocrite. That bird is a hypocrite. Hey, boy, those poor meerkats, here they are trusting the watchdog, and man, they scatter when he comes, but man, you let that rascal get hungry, he's going to sound off some false alarms. And I just thought it was interesting how even wildlife will seek to do that. But may God help us as God's children, as we as a church, may we never be that way to each other. May we never just use each other when it's advantageous for us. May we never take advantage of one another, but may we show a pure love for one another. My love for you is not on what you can offer me, my dear friends. And the same goes vice versa. Our love is based toward each other based on what Jesus Christ does for us and did for us on the cross of Calvary. We need to love each other with a pure love. And God will bless that in a mighty way. You want to show your love for the local church? You want to show your love for this local church? Love the master, number one. But secondly, love the members. Love each other. And I'm not going to re-preach that message, but I talked about how the great importance of that is, even those that you may disagree with, even those that may not have your personality. Love them. Love them with an unconditional love. But then thirdly, in closing this morning, I want us to see not only do we need, as we show our love for the church, we need to show our love for the master and for the members of the church, but thirdly, we need to show our love for the mission of the church. The mission. The mission is important. That's what's set out. Some of you may have a job where that's one of the first things you noticed when you got the job. You may even were asked the question, hey, do you know what the mission is of our company? Do you understand what we're going for here? If you're going to come and be on board with our company and work for our company, the first thing you got to understand is understand that, hey, there's a mission to accomplish. And I believe that we need to understand that as God's children, there is a mission. When I joined the Coast Guard, I learned very quickly what the mission was. And it was basically wrapped up in this. The mission of the United States Coast Guard is to ensure our nation's maritime safety, security, and stewardship. Safety, security, and stewardship. And all of everything that we did in the Coast Guard, the hundreds and maybe even thousands of different missions that we went on could be wrapped up in that statement right there. Stewardship, security, and safety. That was the mission. Do you know the church has a mission? And I'm sorry, I know this may sound just too simple, but sometimes we make God's commands too difficult. But you know what the mission of the church is? I could sum it up in two phrases. And it's biblical. What is the mission of Crooked Creek Baptist Church? What is your mission here? What is my mission? Two phrases here. One, love God. Two, love people. That is the mission. Love God. Love people. In fact, that's what Jesus Christ said in Mark 30, and we talked about it this morning in Sunday school. Over there in Mark chapter 12, Jesus made it very clear on what the greatest commandments were as he was asked that question. I'll read it to you. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 says this. And he says here, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, get this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And he told them in Matthew, we just read this morning, that listen, he told those Pharisees that were so caught up in all the legalistic rituals and the 613 laws, they were so caught up on that. He says, listen, fellas, everything you believe about those laws hangs on these two things. Love God with everything you have and love people as yourself. That's what he told them. That's what he told them. Now, of course, we get into the New Testament and the epistles gives us even more detail of how we fulfill that mission, how we love God properly, how we worship Him properly, how we serve Him properly. And then it talks about how we treat people, how we love people, believers and lost. Go across the board. Man, we get a lot of detailed descriptions. But everything, my dear friends, the mission of this church is to love God with all we have. And secondly, it is to love people. It is to love each other. It is to go out and love a lost and dying world with everything we can by the power of God. That is the mission, my friends, that God has set before us. Can I say it like this? As we look at that command of the Lord Jesus and as we look at the mission of the local church, you know, we got to understand that if, as we love the master and as we love the members, my dear friend, if you're going to be a faithful church member, you have got to make a decision that you are going to love the mission. Because we're in this together. And if one stays back, when we're going forward with the mission, we all suffer. And God wants us all to be on board. And I believe there is something for everyone to do here. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't know what that is. Would you please come and talk to me? I will listen to your gifts. I will listen to your personality. I will listen to your interest. I will listen to what you like to do on your free time. And I guarantee you, I can spend 5 minutes with you, and I guarantee you, I can find a ministry in this church that will fit your gifts. I will find a place where you can plug in and to help fulfill the mission of loving God and loving people. You know, I've used a couple terms to shorten our mission here at this church that definitely is from loving God and loving people. But I state it like this here at the Creek. Our mission is glorifying God, exalting Him, Jesus Christ above all. Two, here we're grounded in truth. We're grounded in the Word of God. If we don't go by this book, we're failing. And we're going to seek to honor the Word of God. And through this Word, we equip. You know, when you're grounded in truth, the Word of God you have here, our mission is to equip, as Ephesians would tell us, the saints. To equip them for the work of the ministry. Do you know what that's saying? A lot of times we get that turned around in our churches. And I can understand how it could be easy, because a lot of time it goes back to tradition. But do you know what Paul was saying in that passage? He's saying, look, pastors, evangelists, this is what I want y'all to do. I want you to go into church and I want you to train the people to serve me. And a lot of times as churches, the churches can think, well, that's for the pastor. He does all that. But no, my job as the pastor is to come alongside and do it with you, of course, but it's to set an example, but it is to encourage you and to equip you in order to fulfill the will of God. We are equipping each other. We're equipping each other by the Word of God and the preaching of it. But then, I believe we see glorifying God, we see grounded in truth, but then we see going with compassion. That's something I believe we are truly growing in, and I'm so thankful. We have been distributing gospel tracts and flyers, and God has been blessing us for our obedience, and I'm so thankful for that. And we're going to continue, whether we see fruit or not, because we don't serve based on fruit, friend. We serve because it's right. We work and labor because it's right. And Jesus said, I want to tell you something. You better believe it. Your labor is never in vain. Not one thing that you do for Jesus, even if it was handing somebody a cup of cold water, Jesus says He takes note of it. I want to tell you right now, every little thing counts that's done for Jesus. We go with compassion. We engage. I'm afraid in many of our churches we have gotten to the point where we are scared to engage to a world. We are afraid and we are timid, but God can break through that because we know that the fullness of the Holy Ghost comes boldness. There comes courage, but we need to go with compassion and engage them and help them find Christ. And by God's grace, that will be our mission. Many of you are here. You may not be familiar with our grow teams, but we have a team that goes out every Saturday from our church, and you can make a choice to join one team, and therefore you would go out once a month to go out and help distribute literature for the glory of God and to help people come to know Christ and to be a witness in our community. That's being with the mission. I would love to see everybody participate in that in some way. Perhaps you won't go out, but maybe you'll come here and pray. Maybe you'll say, Pastor, I'd be willing to write some cards. I'd be willing to write some letters. I'd be willing just to do something, Lord, to serve you in your church. But then we see growing in grace. Glorifying God, grounded in truth, and then going with compassion. And we see growing in grace. We know it is the will of God for us to grow in grace. And I believe that is the element of encouragement. Just seeking to encourage one another in the Lord. Seeking to be a blessing to each other. Helping each other where help is needed. That is the mission of the church. And that's what we need to ask ourselves. Continually. Are we fulfilling the mission? Well, based on those three things, can we ask ourselves this morning simply this? Do I love my church? Am I committed to love my church through what God is going to lead us to do? It doesn't mean we're always going to agree on everything, but I tell you what it does do. It believes that the master is the head and he's number one. It shows that we're going to love the members unconditionally. And I believe we're going to love the mission of going and doing what God has called us to do. That, my friend, I believe is where we see our love for the church. And can I say this? If you or I cannot love our church, we need to go back and evaluate what God says about that. Because Jesus Christ said this, I love my church. He said, I love my church. I paid my precious blood for it. I gave myself for it. That's my church. This is His church. And if He loves it, you should love it too. And I should love it too. And I should be fully in. And if I can't be, then I need to go back and evaluate my heart. And can I say this very transparently, my dear friends? Every one of us should always be under evaluation. I should always have my life under evaluation from myself and before the Lord. Lord, evaluate my heart right now. Evaluate where I am. And that's what we do. We do that before the Lord and allow Him to conform us and strengthen us and get us to where He needs to be. The master of the church, the members of the church, the mission of the church. May God help us to fulfill that faithfully. We're going to say our fourth pledge now together. This is the fourth one. We've said other ones. I will make these available. I will make these available to the other pledges to everyone at the end of this series. And I trust that we'll put it somewhere in our Bibles, that we will frequently look at these and review these on the commitment we're making to the Lord to love our church. We see here, and you can just read this along with me silently, but this is the pledge I'm asking you to make today before the Lord. I will be a faithful church member by loving my church biblically. I will love my Savior and Master, Jesus Christ, for He is the head. I will love the members who make up this church. I will love the mission of that Christ has given this church and will obey it by His power. I will lead my family to love this church and will ask Christ to help us fall deeper in love with this church because He gave His life for her. I trust that you will read that, and not only read it, but I trust you'll mean it in your heart. This church will go forth with great power as we all make a commitment to love her as Christ loves her. Let's pray.